CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg. Fund Drive 2026. Make your pledge now. Call 204-774-6877. Operators are standing by to take your call or pledge online securely at fundrive.ckuw.ca.
This is Community Campus Radio, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Stream, podcast, or download program archives and more at ckuw.ca.
Welcome back to Ronnie's Rocketing Reviews. I'm going to be doing a bit of a catch-up episode this week on what I've been watching lately. First up, Wake Up Dead Man, the latest entry into Rian Johnson's murder mystery series with Benoit Blanc. The newest one follows the murder of a priest who serves as a very loud and abrasive figure in a small town church community. Naturally, this movie deals in religious themes and commentary as well as being a complex solving to a murder mystery. And I really, really liked it. It was consistently compelling, engaging, and thought-provoking. I think what was easily the most striking part of the movie was the cinematography. The movie looks simply magnificent. The lighting, the framing, it's all perfect. There's two moments that you'll certainly remember involving sunlight shining through the church. Both instances of this occurred at pivotal moments in the movie, and not only did they mean a lot for the story, but they just simply looked magnificent, and I imagine took a lot of effort to set up. This is also the darkest and grittiest of the series, so there's plenty of spookier visuals and borrowings from horror during the nighttime forest scenes or the dingy basement scenes. Every movie in the series looks great and is filmed perfectly, and this one is no exception, while still coming up with new and exceptional tricks. I don't have much to say on the music or the performances or certain other aspects. The whole movie is presented very well, the score is great, everyone pulled their weight, but the cinematography and plot were the two aspects that really kept me watching. Also, the editing. The editing is so perfect, and it's easily one of the most integral parts of the series, but it's kind of hidden and not as easy to point out. But the story flows super well, and everything is paced so perfectly. Onto the story. I loved the story. Not only was the mystery airtight and engaging, the theming and ideas kept me thinking. The series is always very informed by the modern world and Rian's view on what's happening in the modern world. And this time he chose to touch on religion, and I think it was handled very well. I love Judd as the character. I think he's one of the series' best. He makes a great counterbalance for Benoit. It's clear to me that Benoit is very much a self-insert for Rian's stance on religion, and while he is the main character of the series, I love how Rian doesn't just push one idea to the forefront, and instead gives a lot of respect for what Christianity can mean for people through the other main character, Judd. There's really three main stances shown off in the movie. One being the extreme right-wing politics and propaganda perpetuated by Monsignor Wick, which is clearly at the heart of the social commentary. One is the extreme opposition from Benoit Blanc, the stone-faced atheist who finds religion silly. And the last is the middle ground and the heart of the emotional conclusion this movie draws. And that's Judd, the assistant priest who got into Christianity to escape a dark past and eventually found an all-embracing love through this religion. There's a lot more one can say about the movie's themes and all that, but the general layout of the thematic structuring is what I mainly got on a first watch. The only real negative I have is that once we get into the weeds of the reveal and all the twists and turns, it gets a little cartoony. The jewel's power on these characters makes some sort of sense for what the movie is going for, but it comes out of nowhere and it goes a little over the top without instantly one of the characters switches up for the jewel. But besides that, it's really great, and I would give it an 8 out of 10. I think what I really appreciate the most about this Knives Out series is that you can actually feel the passion through it. You can tell that Rian isn't just making a movie for the sake of the franchise. He obviously only writes a new story when he has something new to say and something to get off his chest, and that passion is what makes the whole series feel so expressive and from a real place. So I love that.
My most dangerous case yet is about to be revealed.
If you're liking my reviews, then you should know that CKUW is in the middle of its annual fund drive. So if you want to support the show, consider donating. I'll get more into that after the next review. Next up is One Battle After Another, which is P.T. Anderson's latest feature. It's been nominated for several awards, gotten a ton of buzz, and I've seen it twice, so I've seen this movie for nearly 5.5 hours. It's a long movie. Very much enjoyed it. I don't feel like I have much of a big take on this movie, as I feel other people have much more informed opinions on it than I do. I think a lot of people who are donning this movie with a perfect score are ignoring some of the more problematic aspects of the movie that, again, other people have dissected better than I could. The biggest issue being the fetishization of black women, and some concerning writing choices during the first half hour of the movie that sort of muddy and discredit Anderson's attempt at making a movie about revolution. Black Girl Watching wrote a great article about this called One Fetish After Another. Needless to say, this movie isn't perfect at all, and obviously bit off more than it could chew ideologically, but I can't deny that this movie was damn well made. I don't think great directing necessarily excuses for some of the issues in the movie, and I'll get into why I do enjoy the story later on, but to start off, it's impossible for me to ignore the mastery of filmmaking in this. This movie looks great, the camera work is really amazing, and the filmmaking techniques are what keeps the movie flowing in many ways. The story involves a ton of action, evading, and hurrying, and the cinematography keeps you adequately invested and on the edge during those scenes. This movie really hardly slows down, and somehow it doesn't feel like it drags on, even with the 2-hour 40-minute runtime. Everybody who watched this will come out still thinking about the iconic Rolling Hills chase scene, which was just unbelievable. It's a very long scene without music, taken up mostly by simply shots of the road, but the framing and camera work showcases the unique chase scene and what makes it interesting perfectly. It's kind of obvious to praise that scene, but what really kept me watching was the in-between scenes. The scenes where we simply watch Bob and Cass go from point A to point B. Watching Bob fumble his way through each step of the story is what makes the movie for me. It's so entertaining. Leo really does kill it as this incompetent, washed-up ex-revolutionary. There's a scene where he's running across rooftops, and it's probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie, as it ends with Bob just plummeting 40 stories, softened by a tree, straight to concrete. The characters feel that much more believable because they mess up and make the wrong choices constantly. Bob especially does so much wrong in this movie, and I feel that's kind of the point. When you really break it down to what makes this movie what it is, it's a story of a dad and daughter who start off entirely on different levels. They don't understand each other, their relationship is a bit rocky. Then they suddenly get split apart and jolted into an impossible situation to navigate, which sort of breaks them and crumbles them down. Bob realizes how broken he is and how incompetent he is, and Willa, his daughter, realizes how much of her life is a mystery to her. They both slowly crack under these life-altering journeys of realization, before finally being reunited with a newfound love and understanding for each other. That's what the heart of the movie is. This movie has flaws and some weird icky stuff in it that a lot of people ignore, but at the core of this movie, it really is built around the relationship between Bob and Willa, and I have little complaints about their journeys. Anyways, the music was also really great. Johnny Greenwood absolutely killed the score. The jittery, chaotic piano, the jazzy drums, the moody guitar, it was all perfect. Some of those tracks really moved the scenes they were built around. I can't imagine these scenes without the accompanying score, it's just so perfectly baked into the movie's personality. Paul's soundtrack picks were also really great. The Steely Dan tracks that served as a motif for Bob and Willa's scenes were nice. I loved the Soldier Boy needle drop and how it was used. Ready or Not by the Jackson 5 was probably my favorite soundtrack pick, and served as one of the most memorable parts for me. The only real flaw in the music was that I felt there were one or two scenes where the music was a little loud or the track would go on for a little long. For example, I feel like Dirty Work bled way too far into the scene with Willa's teacher. But yeah, besides the little nitpicks, the music was perfect. The performances were great, Sean Penn knocked it out of the park as this absolutely ogreish slimeball of a villain. And Chase Infinity in her breakout role easily held a candle to the rest of the cast. Chase had probably my second favorite performance in the movie, like she really killed it. Yeah, it's an undeniably well-made movie and certainly entertaining, so I can't give this movie anything lower than an 8 out of 10.
You've got more fight in you than the rest of us.
Come on, baby.
Let's go!
One battle after another. Rated R.
It's a real journey of a movie that will drive you down some thrilling roads. And speaking of driving down roads, if you're having fun hearing me talk about what drives these plots, again, you might want to consider donating to CKUW for the Fun Drive. You can call 204-774-7777 6877 to call in to make a pledge, or visit fundrive.ckuw.ca to donate online. There's special perks you could get depending on how much you donate, but most importantly, your donations and support is what keeps the station striving, and what lets me share with you my thoughts on art and pop culture. So if you're enjoying my reviews, definitely consider supporting the station. Now for some mini-reviews to close out the show. I watched Begonia, Yorgos Lanthimos' latest freak show, and I enjoyed that. Yet again, Yorgos proves his ability to craft a truly unique work. This movie follows two conspiracy theorists who kidnap a healthcare CEO, who they believe is an alien, in order to try and communicate with their ship in their mad plot to save the world from aliens. The music alone is enough reason to watch this movie. There's some great soundtrack choices, but the original score was just perfect. Mind you, none of the elements that make this movie special are done as well as Poor Things, but I really didn't feel the need to compare it while watching. It feels like its own new thing, even while using similar techniques to Poor Things. The interesting lenses, the surreal concepts, Emma Stone. This movie isn't the most unique or wildly creative thing I've seen, but it is very compelling. I think some of the earlier, more simple scenes were a bit more engaging than some of the later scenes, because it felt like there were smarter solutions that Emma's character could have taken, viewed as alien or human, but it didn't detract from my experience too much. This movie genuinely moved me at times with the disturbing imagery and performances. The scene where a certain character meets their fate was highly disturbing and emotional with how it was shot and the music sting accompanying it. I also got a little choked up at the end. The ending of this movie was very provocative and it definitely got me in the feels for certain visuals. Unfortunately, the twist that leads up to that ending has grown sour on me since watching. I won't spoil it, but the direction that this movie goes in for the ending, which ultimately was an ending I still liked, still slightly dampens some of the emotion and philosophical core of the movie, in my opinion. I definitely need to rewatch it to have a fuller picture, but I definitely took a lot from this movie, and I really enjoyed it. And I'm giving Begonia a 7.5 out of 10.
I respectfully disagree.
On which part?
Primarily, I'm not an alien.
Begonia, rated R.
I also watched Marty Supreme in the theaters with my friend, and I enjoyed that quite a bit. Much like One Battle, it's very frantic at times and moves at a swift pace. I love how epic this movie feels and how serious the consequences of Marty's actions are. We're really taken on an emotional roller coaster on a scale and pace that Josh Shafty has clearly mastered at this point. If you liked Uncut Gems, this movie is a lot like that in many ways. Following an extremely flawed character who kind of blows up everything in their life through a series of stress-inducing set pieces. This story, however, ends on a distinctly happier note, with Marty having a bit of a last-minute redemption. I shouldn't even say redemption, just a hint at a redemption or a changed worldview in the very last minute of the movie. I like that this movie doesn't feel the need to fully resolve this character's issues. All it has to do is allude to a bright future or allude to growth, and it still hits just the same. The movie is very well shot, very well acted. Timothée Chalamet was really great and definitely carried the story well. Tyler, the Creator, did really well in his acting debut, and his character had some of my favorite story beats. It's a huge ensemble cast, and everyone really killed it. I think some of the characters were a bit of cliche archetypes, and some of the story beats were a little cliche, but I actually really enjoy how some of these characters start as a basis of these everyday movie archetypes and are sort of expanded upon and twisted in small ways to make them feel like much more fleshed out characters. And the way every character's journey progressed and interacted resulted in a very natural feeling and stressful journey. And I'm giving Marty Supreme another 8 out of 10.
It seems like they shallow me chillin', tryna stack 100 million. Girl got a billion, what the fuck, what a wonderful feeling. Hit to the ceiling, hit to the since 2017, I'm living the dream, getting the cream, I'm living on theme, I'm doing my thing. Marty Supreme, Marty Supreme, Marty Supreme.
That's pretty much it. Go check out these movies. I enjoyed them all. And again, if you like this episode, definitely consider donating to the station. Check out Review Ronnie on YouTube and Instagram for more info on the show. And before I let you listeners go, it's time for Ronnie's Joke of the Week. What would you call Paul Thomas Anderson's newest film if it was about cows? One Cattle After an Udder, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Benicio del Toro. Alright, I'm done. Sorry.
Good reviews.
Fabulous reviews.
This is Ronnie. Make it good.
So Ronnie could have been a
reviewer.
It's Ronnie, all right.
Ronnie reviews.
Fabulous reviews.
And this is the best review we got.
Daring to dream of a better world for all of us. CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. It's CKW's Fun Drive, on now till February the 20th. Fun Drive is where we ask for listener donations to help keep the station on air. We know you enjoy the broad range of programming on 95.9 FM. While you might get the radio for free, getting the radio to you isn't free. The rental fee that CKW pays for its radio transmitter tower is more than $11,000 a year. With a donation of $180, you are paying for 6 days of that rental fee. For a $75 donation, you are paying for 60 hours of that tower rental. Make a pledge now by calling 204-774-6877 to make a donation, or go to fundrive.ckw.ca to donate online.
With your CKUW Friends Card, you are supporting CKUW 95.9 FM and our friends in the community. 100% of your donations go to the general operations at CKUW 95.9 FM. And with a Friends Card, your dollars get you more at
Dooley Records at 557 Portage Avenue. Dooley Records is a crate digger's paradise with vintage vinyl, tapes, and CDs added weekly. With spine-tingling vinyl, cassettes that won't put you in debt, and CDs, well, you just got a CD's compact discs with your 10% discount.
Join CKUW 95.9 FM Community of Support by donating $35 during Fun Drive in February to get a Friends Card and get access to more deals around Winnipeg.
Telephone.
that's how I'm feeling.
Can't.